You talk about where he comes from, the location of him, the accent you've given him, there are hints to me of Irish, but what were you thinking of in those terms?
You've got dead ears, mate. You seriously got dead ears if you think that's an Irish accent.
Hints of, I thought.
It's bollocks. I'm a little dumbfounded that you could possibly find any Irish in that character. That's kind of ridiculous, but then it's your show.
Whatever. So you're going for, you're going for Northern English.
No, I was going for an Italian. Yeah. Missed it. Anyway.
And finally, you can either answer this or not. I'll just give you the chance because it's out there at the moment. Because you know that the suggestion you didn't want to say the famous line in Gladiator in this book that has come out.
Okay. Thank you.
I didn't get the Irish thing, but I didn't get it at all.
Russell Crowe, who waved his cigarette in farewell. Robin Hood can be seen from today, not only in the character's native Yorkshire, but pretty much everywhere else.
Oh, it's such a beautiful sunny day outside, everyone. And how are we spending it? We are here in the Action Room studio indoors.
It's kind of a trend for us. We like to spend the nice, sunny outdoor days indoors.
Yes, I feel that's a hallmark. That's a standard characteristic of geeks in general, right?
What is it about that? We just don't like the sun. We don't like people.
We don't have the social lives. And our whole childhood probably was spent reading, watching movies, comic books.
Not a lot of geek house parties, right?
Yeah, well...
Dungeons & Dragons, I guess, is a house party.
Dungeons & Dragons, does that count? That should be a new trend. Nerd parties.
Yeah.
Or nerd house parties.
Yeah, no, I'd like that. But also,
maybe Sinbad could come out with a new movie called Nerd House Party. Didn't he do
you
House Party?
You always think Sinbad is House Party. That's
who
not,
is that?
That's Kid and Play.
Kid and Play. All right, on that note, I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm producer Mike.
And we are the Action Room.
We are the Action Room.
Kid and Play brings you the Action Room.
I wanted to... Well, we just figured out what our transition music is going to be.
All right.
There's a big 9th Avenue food festival happening in the city.
Yes.
Which I grew up on. Every year they have it. And it's always the greasiest food that'll make you throw up. But it feels so good going down before it comes up.
Well, I had some roasted corn. That's not going to be greasy on me.
That's not too greasy. I like the funnel cake.
That's healthy.
And the, what is this, the mozzarella and the two patty thing?
Oh, it's like a mozzarella toast.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty bad for you, but
so
it
you can
awesome.
Write to us and tell us your favorite street fair food. Because they have street fairs in other parts of the country, right?
Yeah, and actually, I guess Bloomberg is kind of shutting them down a little bit more.
Really?
Just to save money, because we have so many of them in New York and stuff.
Wow.
But
okay.
Anyway.
All right, so of course, we have new shows for you every Monday and Friday. We place a great deal of attention and effort on delivering two shows a week.
Yes.
So join our Facebook fan page.
Who says this generation doesn't have a work ethic?
That's right.
And for no money.
And for all the money we get paid. I mean, come on, people. It's a lot of time and effort that goes into the Action Room. And follow us on Twitter as well. We always enjoy talking to our fans on Twitter and talking about the latest and the greatest in geek news. Oftentimes, stuff will come up on Twitter that we don't even get a chance to address on the show.
Right.
Because by the time we do the show, it's 3 days out of date.
Exactly.
All right, so later on in the show, we'll have, as we do always, the nerd news, your one-stop shop for all things geek. And later, after the break, we have Kim Rogers, our movie correspondent, will return to review Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe's Robin Hood.
Yeah, it's almost comical, just that by itself. We don't even have to get into
just
the room.
All we need to say is Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. And,
So I wanted to get into something that's a little bit, you know, of a serious subject for the Action Room.
Wow.
Is
producer Mike being serious?
Yeah, usually we're not, you know, attacked for characters we do. You know, it's pretty successful. People usually enjoy them.
Right.
But we actually, we did a character called...
Last episode.
Perverted Patrick Stewart last week.
Perverted Patrick
last episode.
Stewart.
Let's play a little bit of the clips he would say.
What did he say?
Rectal thrusters. Engage.
And he also said this...
Mr. Worf, would you mind terribly inserting your fist up my rectum?
And furthermore, I believe he added this as well.
Computer, plot a course directly up my asshole.
So we did set up a Twitter account for Perverted Patrick Stewart. It's at Perv Pat Stewart.
And it's probably one of the more successful Twitter accounts
on
Twitter.
It's taken off like wildfire. It's going to be like, shit, my dad says. We're going to have a book deal in 4 months. Then, Producer Mike, why don't you give us this very sad news? We received some sort of phone call.
Yeah, from Patrick Stewart himself.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and
I feel almost flattered, but yeah. Scolded at the same time.
No, it's one of those things, any bad press is good press, or yeah. Negativity, or whatever you want to call it. So, Patrick Stewart, here's the message, but I think we should take him seriously. So, Here it is.
Hello, this is Patrick Stewart. It has come to my attention that you're doing some sort of unauthorized, perverted parody of me. I would actually have never even heard of your little show, this action compartment, or action cluster, action vestibule, whatever it is. Oh, I see, it's called the Action Room. Well, if this is what you do in your room, then I want nothing to do with it. My good friend LeVar Burton alerted me to what you're doing. He spends far too much time on the Internet and Twitter. I'm really quite worried about him. I'm here to ask you, in any case, to please eliminate this character, or I shall have to initiate some sort of legal proceedings. I mean, Ricky Gervais wrote some very funny things for me on his show Extras, where I talk about seeing naked women, making their clothes fall off magically, and such, all this. But really, I mean, that's Ricky Gervais. You take my meaning. He's Ricky Gervais, and you're... Well, I don't quite even know what you are, but in any case, please... Make it so, or you shall hear from my attorneys. And I do have quite a few. Cheerio.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, we were so close to having something so big.
I know. I mean, I looked at the account. There was at least 3 people who signed up. At least. At the very
I thought
least.
You said 3 million.
I'm sorry. I didn't say 3 million.
3,000?
Maybe I said that by accident. Yeah. I meant 3.
Well, I mean, don't you think we could continue to do it with the legal sense of parody or satire? What about the Action Room legal team? Can we get the Action Room legal team on this?
I think we could do it because that message was actually not Patrick Stewart.
What do you mean?
No, I think that it sounded kind of...
You're spoiling the illusion. What do you mean? No. Do we have to play this straight?
I'm not even sure anymore. I don't know what we're doing. Okay.
All right.
Do you want to do an impression of our legal team?
Listen, Action Room, what you need to know is this guy Patrick Stewart, he's a total shyster. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. We're going to have a preliminary injunction, and then we're going to have a follow-up to the injunction, and then we're going to have a conjunction-junction, what's your function? And then we'll have a subpoena, and then we'll get a subpoenas. Patrick Stewart subpoenas.
Another good Patrick Stewart quote. I will do a subpoenas on you.
Number one, make it so. Order a subpoenas for the Romulans.
Okay, this will be successful no matter
how much we drive it into the ground.
Okay, so all right. Why don't you plug the Twitter account one more time?
Let us know, even if you hate it, let us know if you have any reaction to Perverted Patrick Stewart. It's Perv Pat Stewart. We chose some very amusing photos of Patrick Stewart.
Do you understand we're stuck in this Action Room and we don't know what the outside world is like?
We need contact with the outside world. All right, podcasters and geek fans, you let us know, do you think Perverted Patrick Stewart, thumbs up or thumbs down? This can be like Robin when they voted, should Robin die or should Robin
right,
win?
Right, right.
All right. We all know what the answer will be, but let's just see. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll... What will we do?
No, we're talking to Kim Rogers. Okay, we need to get out.
We'll
I think during
break.
The break, we're going to get out of the right. house a little. Get out of the room for a second.
I'm going to have a house party. All right, we'll be right back.
If you're looking
All right, action fans, you are back in the action room, and we are here with our very special guest, with our very special guest star. We were saying that Kermit introduced everyone as a very special guest star, Kim Rogers.
Woo! I'm back.
Thank you, studio audience, and welcome back, Kim Rogers.
Thank you, thank you.
Kim is our movie reviewer and general all-around amazing pop culture correspondent.
Or addict.
Really, it's either or.
Yeah, I'm learning. She's going to review a movie for us today, but she is a TV addict. I mean, officially.
Yeah, officially.
Like, producer Mike and I, for example, have never seen Lost. Feel free to throw tomatoes at us through the radio.
I judge you.
But you know everything. She judges us.
No, I realize, like, how many holes we have in geek culture. We don't do video games, really. We don't watch a lot of TV. We do the movies and comic books, but, you know, there's still so much more out there, you know?
Right.
That's why you have me.
Exactly.
Now, Kim, by the way, she is on Twitter. I know the thousands of you who write to us every day on Twitter. You can add Drama Kim to your list. She is at Drama Kim because she is into drama, but not of the not of the personal variety.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. So you're going to take us through a movie you just saw about a green-clad archer guy.
Is that what that movie was about? I saw Robin Hood, and I put that in quotation marks.
She's making the quote hand gesture.
Before I talk about this, I will say I'm a little biased because I frickin' love Kevin Costner's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Okay.
Don't judge me.
With all its flaws, what do you love most about it?
That Kevin Costner doesn't have a British accent.
What, you just like the movie overall?
I was.
That it's fun, or?
I was 12 years old when it came out.
Yeah,
and
you kind of have to like anything you saw when you were 12.
Wait,
yeah.
This is my big thing, though, about this 12-year-old phenomenon that people talk about. Does it hold up now? Do you truly enjoy it now?
Yes.
Forget about the 12. Good. That's the mark of a good movie.
Yeah.
I don't think movies can just always coast on when
Correct.
You're 10.
I mean, and it's for me, like, every time I see Alan Rickman, I see the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Well, he was great, and I remember Christian Slater is great. The supporting cast is really good.
Morgan Freeman, I mean.
And then you have Sean Connery at the end.
Yeah. It's,
but you can also see the flaws of something you saw when you were a child and still love it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
no, I love
well,
it.
What it is.
Well, what's something that you look back at and go, that's a shitty movie? You're still going to love it, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I won't look back and say that Robin Hood is a shitty movie.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that ever works where you can look back and say it was really bad.
I think I can, though.
Pick one. Give me one.
Well, not movies, but TV shows, for example.
TV shows suck, though. Those get dated very fast.
But I'll give you an example. Battle of the Planets, that animated thing.
Yeah.
When you're 10, it's the coolest thing in the world. Now, Voltron, these are things see are shitty.
Yeah.
However,
I knew they were shitty when I was
Star Blazers. Well, I knew, too, also, but, you know, because they never went anywhere. But Star
specifically,
Blazers.
Specifically, I wasn't into Voltron, but go ahead.
Star Blazers actually had story arcs. It was the first thing. It had characters die. I watched it 3 years ago as an adult, and it held up completely.
Right.
Completely. Not just through the haze of childhood.
Well, did the Voltron, because I know obviously the Japanese understood the arcs, but did Voltron have arcs, or were
they? Yes, but the American censors edited them all to hell.
Okay.
Like,
right.
So that there was no arc to be found.
All right, we have officially sidetracked this discussion.
Let's go back to Robin Hood.
So, well, and you know.
You didn't see this when you were 12.
Saw it this afternoon.
Now, this is, let's just give context. This is the Ridley Scott, Russell Crowe Robin Hood.
Which for some 12-year-olds today, it will be their favorite Robin Hood.
No way.
Or their first Robin Hood
exposure. No way. Well, and originally it was supposed to be called Nottingham, and it was going to be a Robin Hood story told from the perspective of the Sheriff of Nottingham, and Russell Crowe was going to be the sheriff, and, you know, and then
and
they
the
were
sheriff
like...
would essentially be the protagonist.
Correct, which, no.
How are we supposed to empathize with an evil fucking
exactly.
asshole?
Exactly, well, and this is...
And there's no Bryan Adams song in this either, right?
No.
Oh, that's right. Now, which is that...
Everything I do. Yes, I mean, that's like the slow dance song of 8th grade.
I confuse that with his Three Musketeers song. With Sting. Let's make it awful.
And then his Don Juan, have you ever loved a woman?
He is the king of cheesy 90s ballads for mediocre movies.
Totes. Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
So... They then reconceived this as a origin story. They're like, this is the story of the man behind the legend.
Right.
And I'll tell you, the story did not work.
Okay.
It was so rendered so unrecognizable to me that I'm like, you just, it's not Robin Hood.
Well, wait, we can go spoilers here now, right? Because none of you were going to see this. So.
Well, I mean, and even where they started it off, because, like...
Why unrecognizable? I mean, it still hits the beats of Robin Hood,
well,
right?
Sort of.
It's also even, like, with the Nightmare on Elm Street, it's like everything now has to be about the origin story. I don't care where these people come
it's
from.
It's very deconstructionist.
Yeah. Well, like, and it got very... political and very talky and like England is fighting France and I'm like, what does this have to do with Robin Hood? Mm-hmm. It is Robin Hood.
Doesn't he just beat up bad guys? Like,
you know, like we all know the story of Robin Hood and that's why people keep coming back to it.
The king is being mean and unfair and he kicks some ass.
So it wasn't fun, really?
No, there was absolutely no fun in it. Now, I mean... when it did have action and fight sequences, I mean, it was Ridley Scott epic with a capital E.
Right.
Fight sequences. But, like, the final fight sequence, I was like, am I watching Saving Private Ryan? Because it's on the beaches of England. So,
I almost feel
French
like
storm in. And
yeah, I remember seeing that in the trailer, and I was like, why is this, like, an epic war movie?
Yeah,
like,
no, it's not Robin Hood. It's not Robin Hood.
I was just going to say, yeah, Robin Hood seems like it's more small
personal.
In scope. You know, it's
and
like,
it didn't until the end. The
Kevin Costner's movie got it right.
Yeah, they did.
Disney.
And in the end, like, he's not declared an outlaw until the end. Like, in the last 5 minutes, that scene they show in the trailer was King
Someone
John.
Goes, outlaw!
Yeah, he's an outlaw! That's not until the last 5 minutes.
So you'd even recommend Men in Tights over this one?
Yes.
So the question is, does Ridley Scott care anymore? Like, as
a
director?
Has he lost it?
You know, like, I feel like... there's two things. Does he care, and does he know what's good anymore?
Yeah.
He could care, but just be out of it. You know what
I
mean?
Out of touch
out
with
of touch.
What quality is.
I think he... also, because I
like the
noticed it
Hall
in...
Notes out of touch? Isn't that the
out
song?
Of touch, out of touch.
I noticed it in American Gangster that it takes so long to get to the action that you're like asleep by the time that it gets to the point in the movie. And that happened in this one, too. Like, it took him forever to even get to England.
Right.
That you're like, I
not
really
just
don't
action,
care.
But
like
building to a
exactly,
point.
Exactly. There's so much exposition and so much... I was like, it took an hour out of a 2.5-hour movie to like get to.
I mean, I don't mind that if
point.
It's good,
if it's
but
dumb.
It wasn't.
You're right. If it's not good, then it's boring. Okay, let's go through a few of his. He did a lot of early TV in the '60s, but okay,
you're not
so
gonna read through his entire.
Well, just one by one. The Duelist, the Duelist from '77, I hear is great. I haven't seen it. Alien, of course, Blade Runner, Legend. Those
which
are some of my
the
favorites.
Which scared the crap out
Which
of
one?
Me as a
Which
child.
One?
Legend, are you
yeah.
kidding?
Legend's
yeah.
good.
Tim Curry as
now,
the devil.
Now, that's a movie that if you watch now is pretty cheesy, but I still love it.
But he still scares me.
Yeah. No, he's the best devil
like,
that was
scares
ever.
Scares me.
Someone to Watch Over Me, Black Rain, Thelma and Louise, some classics.
Black Rain has Kate Capshaw, right? That's that gangster thriller in Chinatown.
With Michael Douglas. And,
yeah, Kate Capshaw, yeah.
Okay,
Thelma
Conquest
Louise.
Of Paradise, I don't know. White Squall.
I kind of love White Squall.
Yeah,
not
he
lie.
Looks pretty good.
Not going to lie.
Mark Wahlberg, is he in there?
No, it's Ryan Phillippe and Jeff Bridges and...
this is when I started to miss his career a little bit. G.I. Jane, Gladiator. It was good, but,
it's,
you know...
Yeah, it's well made.
It's not Blade
it's overrated.
Runner. Hannibal, I thought that was okay. No, which one was that? I don't
Hannibal
remember.
Was the one with Ralph Fiennes.
There were too many sequels
no, or was that
films.
Red right. Dragon?
Yeah, that's the thing. It gets confusing. Yeah. Black Hawk Down, I hear is great, but I haven't seen it.
It's hard to watch.
I really enjoy because it's much more of a personal character film.
Wait, which one?
Matchstick Men.
That's
wait, we're moving
Cage.
Along here. Hold on. Cinema 16.
Well, because these other things, what the hell are they?
Well, we'll go through them. Well, so far I've known pretty much everything.
But Cinema 16.
Yeah,
I
Cinema
no
16. It's a British short film thing. Matchstick Men was great. That's with also Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, yeah.
I love that
and
one.
Nicolas
and Nicolas Cage.
Kingdom of Heaven. I don't know. Do you
Kingdom
do you
of Heaven.
No one saw that. Orlando
I did,
Bloom as a crusader.
Because I loved Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. That was when Orlando Bloom was just at his peak.
Yeah, I mean, coming off of Lord of the Rings and Pirates.
All
and
the Invisible Children? Which one was that? I don't know that
who
one.
Knows?
Well, this has a segment, so it may be an anthology.
Oh, okay.
I mean, and now
this
we're
is
moving
ripped
into
off
the...
IMDb.
The Russell Crowe 5 movies he's
right,
done
right.
with him.
A good year. Didn't see that.
That
no
was a
that
not
is.
Action-y movie with Russell as like a guy with like a midlife crisis going to live
okay,
in Italy.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like Under the Tuscan Sun for guys.
Very
wow.
unlike Ridley. I don't know.
Yeah.
American Gangster I actually did like. Body of Lies. Did you see that?
No.
I don't know. I
no idea.
Well, right. so here's this is going to be the big test, is that when he does this Alien prequel
yes.
in 2011...
This is his creation.
And why did they say two of them, 2012? I don't know. Anyway,
oh,
because
he
he'll probably
said,
try and make it a series again.
Wow,
he said,
really?
Not that it's a series, he wants to make two Alien movies. The first will be a prequel, The second, I think they're just writing, this is in lieu of another alien movie yet to be figured out.
Well,
what
he wouldn't do one right after the other in 2 years.
I mean, maybe he would.
He apparently is. He's planning
but
it to.
You know what, guys? Mm. I find myself to be very emphatically anti-prequel.
Oh, yeah. No, I think...
For anything. I mean, Star Wars ruined it for me as far as prequels.
Yeah, no, I agree. But
so why? What's the point?
Well, because we want to see him back doing
if
Alien.
If a prequel is exceptionally well done...
But that's the question.
How often are they exceptionally well done,
I
though?
Know. But, by the way, I think he... I read a tiny bit about this. Not a spoiler thing, but... Oh, sorry. This would happen like a generation before Ripley or something.
Right, right.
So
that makes sense. I just don't...
Kim says new.
No.
I mean, well, how do we feel? I mean, do we think that he has lost it, or do you think he just doesn't care? No, seriously.
I mean, I would say, like, the action... Yeah,
there is no option that he can actually recover.
Is he really bad or just very bad?
I think he's very bad at picking scripts. I mean, well, I didn't walk away being like, this was terribly directed. I walked away from Robin Hood being like, that script sucked.
Well, yeah, that's important nowadays, especially.
You know?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Maybe this is just another example. As I've heard, I don't know if you saw The Nightmare on Elm Street, but everyone pretty much hated it. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is an example of... Everyone's trying to do now their Batman Begins, and
correct.
Maybe that trend needs to die.
Which is why I wanted to watch Batman Begins yesterday, and then I discovered that I do not own it, and I do think
that, you know...
Batman Begins is really good,
yeah,
but...
I do think that directors have, you know, as they get older, they just kind of lose touch, and I feel like he's in that boat, you know? He can make a great-looking film,
mm-hmm.
but he just, you know, he was great in the 80s and the 90s, whatever... I don't know that he can, you know, so yeah, hopefully the Alien prequel will be an awesome movie, but you're right. I'm not too excited. I don't mm-hmm. expect much from
but it. But I have a hope that because it's one of his early creations, maybe it'll light a fire in him somehow.
Now,
but just a little
but
bit.
But I think we're actually honing in on the fact that it's not so much that he doesn't care. I just think he's lost touch.
In our Action Room YouTube director's reel video, we got an ID with Ridley Scott, which I know meant a lot to producer Mike because it's formerly one of his favorite directors.
Well, and that's pretty cool. Just anyway.
No, he's awesome. Here, do you want to play it real quick?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Hi, I'm Ridley Scott, and I'm watching the Action Room.
All right.
I just love, he's like, what did this kid just tell me to say? I'm watching the Action Room.
But I was joking with Tony, is it like that's the way he seems to be with his movies now. I'm directing Robin Hood? I don't
know. What am I doing?
All right, so let's go to nerd news, and when we come back, Kim's going to stick around. We have a lot to talk about with TV, so let's come.
Right.
We'll be right back.
No, it's true. Everything I do it for you.
In the streets of New York, someone's about to get chased down by the cops. All right, so thank you to our non-existent sponsor. And we are back. I'm Tony Wolf.
If nobody understood that, there's a siren outside.
Yes,
so
do you
people don't want
that?
To just think you're crazy.
Well, I am crazy, but...
just a little crazy.
So we have...
I'm producer Mike.
And...
Kim Rogers.
Who's stuck around. And
she's going to stick around with us for the Nerd News. This is very special.
Kim, do you want to intro the Nerd News?
Intro the intro?
Sure. And here's the intro.
Nerd News.
Okay, all right. So, Nerd News. We got a lots of stuff. We got a lots of stuff in this episode of the Nerd News.
It's Italian.
I don't know what I am. It's Italian in New York. Okay, so, first story in the Nerd News. Lots of major, massive cancellations in the TV world. The axe goes down. The guillotine goes down. NBC cancels Heroes. They cancel Mercy. Someone cancels Trauma. Who did
That's
Trauma?
That's on NBC as well. NBC canceled all of these except for Flash Forward, which is ABC.
Flash Forward is
and
ABC.
Law and Order was a big
and
one.
Law and Order canceled after
now,
20
what
years.
What are New York theater actors going to do?
I still haven't
for some
been
residuals.
On Law and Order, motherfuckers.
So no, but spin-off. So here's my take: is that the most of the country just wants to see? I don't know what you'd call it, but the type of show where it begins and ends in the same episode, and people don't have. You know, before when Lost and shows like that were getting big, it was kind of a different era, and I think now it's kind of had its day. The whole arc kind of type of season.
Really? I think that's why.
True Blood is very successful, and that's
but that's on
cable
HBO.
That's
though.
On cable television.
That's the thing. Cable and internet is different, but when it comes to network television,
why can't a network TV have
ours? No, I'm just saying. I think most people who watch network television, which is most of America, right. like the Lenos, like the reality shows, and like the really easy,
like the CSIs,
yeah, the
stuff
that's Law and Order,
digestible.
That's
stuff like
not
that.
Character driven, and a lot of those procedurals. I mean, they're sort of character driven,
just plot,
but they're just case of the week.
Because with all these like great shows or you know semi-great that are being canceled or not so great or like Heroes,
but then
you have something like V, which is a pretty shitty show, get a second season.
I
you
was
know
shocked,
what I mean?
Yeah. shocked.
And I have to say, as somebody who likes intelligent programming, when I do turn on TV a lot of times because I'm not focused on it so much, I do tend to like things that close up at the end of the show because I'm not following it and stuff like that. So I'm not saying there should be shows like that. I'm just saying
right.
I understand
that
the mentality
be, yeah.
of
well,
working
V. I think they gave a second season because they just. It's a brand new property. They want to give it a bit of a chance before it really.
Yeah, but networks never give
a
bit of a chance. It's doing well. That's the thing.
It's not doing
because
well. The only
dumb.
Reason it's doing the well is because it follows Lost and gets, you know, it doesn't
Great.
Lose the entire audience.
Do you think it's
going to
die?
No,
after.
I think it's going to be very weird for them to find a time slot and a good lead-in for it because I really don't think it's one that they can move and have it stand on its own. And we'll see when ABC announces what they're going to do with it.
Let's talk about Lost. Okay. I don't watch Lost, but Kim is
oh
a huge Lost fan. Now, here's the deal. We
can't spoil things.
We're not going to spoil things. We want to talk a little bit about George Lucas sent in a letter to Lindelof.
Right.
Tony,
okay.
read this off.
So this was on the interwebs yesterday. George Lucas, this headline, of course, immediately gets my and billions of other fans' attention.
Now, if people don't know, Lost is about to end, what, next week?
Next Sunday.
I'm sure they know.
Next Sunday.
Okay.
Wow. Will it have higher ratings than the last episode of MASH?
No, but it will have high ratings because everything else will have finished already, which
right.
is why they put
oh,
it in.
Oh, that's good. That's
because all
and
the big tonight is the big finales for Desperate Housewives, Brothers and Sisters, Survivor.
Okay.
Like
I'm
all the Sunday night
Desperate
shows
Housewives
are done tonight.
Is still on.
Yeah.
Me too, kind of.
So okay, and it's a 2-hour finale for Lost.
It is a 5-hour night extravaganza.
Whoa!
Wait, what?
Really?
They're doing, I think
it's... Is it like a clip show and then...
They're doing a retrospective.
Oh,
they're doing the 2-hour finale and then...
And then when do they vote everybody off?
Taking a break for the local news and oh, yeah. then they're doing a whole episode of Jimmy Kimmel is devoted to Lost.
Wow.
And it's actually going to be the only interview that Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse are going to give after the finale. And
wow.
they're going on Radio Silence. After that. And
not about the show.
Yes, because Kimmel's a huge Lost fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it's going to be a big all-night commitment.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I'm going to have to be very picky about who I watch it with because I don't tolerate talking.
And I'm all about
Lost.
I don't watch it, but I'm all about appointment television. So if you can get people huddled around the TV at the same time, that's pretty awesome.
All right, so George Lucas writes this to Damon Lindelof. He writes, "Congratulations on pulling off an amazing show. Don't tell anyone, knowing that this letter would be publicized, I'm sure. But when Star Wars first came out, I didn't know where it was going either. The trick is to pretend you planned the whole thing out in advance. Throw in some father issues and some references to other stories. Let's call them homages. And you've got a series. In 6 seasons, you've managed to span both time and space. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that I never saw what was around the corner. Now that it's all coming to an end, it's impressive to see how much was planned out in advance and how neatly you've wrapped up everything." I haven't heard Lost fans praising the wrap-up.
I wouldn't call neatly wrapping up, but
right.
go on.
So George Lucas continues, "You've created something really special. Aww. I'm sad that the series is ending. Aww. Mm-hmm. But I look forward to seeing what you two are going to do next. Yay."
Damon Lindelof's response to this is priceless.
Okay, so, after which Lost co-creator Damon Lindelof reportedly said, "Kim, why don't you tell us what
I just
said.
Want to apologize to Mr. George Lucas for everything I said about the prequel."
You know what, Damon? You don't have to apologize.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize.
Because they suck.
Maybe George Lucas has seen the finale, and that's why he's saying you wrapped it up so nicely. I don't know where he's getting wrap it up so nicely.
Here's the big question, then. Do you think it's... Are you going to be satisfied, and are they going to wrap up things the way you want in this final episode?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I know from reading the big article in Entertainment Weekly a few weeks ago that they plan on leaving some things up for interpretation, but it wouldn't be lost if they left things up for interpretation.
Well, even Evangeline Lilly, I saw her on Letterman talking about how she said it's going to end in the spirit of Lost.
I think so. I mean, I have...
It's kind of like The Prisoner, if you know that.
I have a few characters that I'm going to be really angry if they die.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be really angry if Sawyer dies.
Is there any talk that they might actually spin this off into something else? Like,
kind of, but I think Damon and Carlton have been like, no, this is going to be it. Maybe they'll do some, like, I think graphic novel had been tossed around.
Okay.
I mean, because Buffy has had a life after the series through comics and graphic novels.
Right. It would seem almost stupid for them to not do something. They could make so much money on
it.
Well, but if they're, you know,
I mean,
they're
mobile.
Money
rules.
Money,
I'm sorry.
It does. I mean, clearly, I don't think it'll be with any of the actors because, like, a lot of them have moved
already,
on to other projects.
Yeah.
I mean, Daniel Day Kim, who was Jin, is going to be on Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, really?
You know, he's already booked a job.
So he's living in Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember when Daniel Day Kim was tiny roles with four lines on Buffy and Angel.
I was about to say, wasn't he on Buffy?
And I was like, here's that nobody actor, and now he's on Lost. That's awesome.
So, you know, and those actors were in very high demand.
Kim, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You were awesome.
Yes,
if we didn't
you,
have
Kim.
You, this show would have sucked.
Well, you know, you got to have a TV addict
yes,
in there
yes,
somehow.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to be able to emotionally handle this week of season finale.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to
be curled up in a ball in my apartment.
I know, really. What is life going to be like after Lost?
I mean, it's like all my friends go on summer vacation.
Yeah, and they don't come back.
They don't come back. Well, some of them will come back in September.
I have seen articles and newspapers about, like, how will Lost fans handle
we should
end.
Really have Kim in after Lost is done and see how she's dealing with this.
Will,
totally.
Will she be catatonic?
I might be, because my mind will be blown.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kim, as always. And so I guess don't go see Robin Hood.
No. Save your $13.50.
Yes.
Just see the what was the original one with Kevin Costner called?
Prince of Thieves. Or do the Errol Flynn version.
Right.
That's real
or
Robin
the Disney.
Hood.
And the Disney.
Or the Disney version.
Now, wait.
I love the Disney version.
The Disney version has him as a fox, right?
Correct.
Yeah. He's a fox Robin Hood.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us, Action fans. And I guess don't check out Perverted Patrick Stewart on Twitter.
Yeah, right. No, but you can still check him out. Perv
He's still there.
Pat Stewart.
Perv Pat Stewart.
Yeah, on Twitter.
Right. It's unfortunate that Patrick himself called in, but oh well. So.
Hey, man, any complaints is good.
Yes, any publicity is good publicity. Yeah. All right, so I'm Tony Wolf.
Tony Wolf, too. I'm producer Mike.
You gotta leave
I'm
that
Kim
in.
Rogers.
All right,
we're all Tony Wolf.
That's right. Thanks for joining us.